Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us tonight is Mr. Superfan, Super Cubs fan tonight. He's wearing an old style dad style Cubs baseball cap. And
it's like 15 years old.
It looks good. I like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, man.
I like
it's
it.
It's a classic look.
Sharp. Yep. Yeah. And
it's the wrong course, team, but it's a classic look.
It's the exact right team.
It's the right team.
And
Joe's a White Sox fan, by the way.
Yes, I am.
And speaking of right teams, he's also wearing a CineScare hoodie, the same one, but it's the
I love it.
The Jaws one, which is available
for purchase.
Not limited edition, so it is available for purchase. At CineScareHorror.com, and there's a whole bunch of things available for purchase. And let me remind you that we don't get paid to do this, so we actually spend money to do that. We're kind of foolish, but we spend money to do this. So it'd be nice if every little bit counts. If you get on there, buy a T-shirt for 15 whatever it is bucks, get a hoodie for how much was that?
$300.
$300.
Yeah. $40 for a hoodie.
$40 for a hoodie, something like that.
Yeah.
And the proceeds go to a good cause. That is
your Matt, listening entertainment.
Mark. Yeah, exactly. Your listening entertainment.
You know, maybe we started off, maybe you were onto something. Maybe we did it wrong. Maybe this should be limited edition. Mm. Like, we could take things off the store.
That's true. We could.
We could do like a countdown clock. Like, we're only going to make 30 of these, and then when they're gone, they're gone.
Well, take the Friday 13th off. I haven't gotten that yet. I need that.
You let us know.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as Mark buys it.
As soon as we sell 29
more. No, actually,
what
I'm thinking
we'll take
is
it down.
Come up with a limited edition.
Mm. We could probably.
Or something like that.
We could put our heads together and do that.
Something
you
could do,
Joe could do one of those pictures for like a hoodie of like maybe Joe smacking me on stage or something, you know. It's like, pronounce your words right.
yeah. That.
Hey, you know, Mark, you've got crayons back there somewhere, don't you? You don't have to put all the heavy lifting on me. You can come up with some of these designs.
No.
We'll throw them
on
a T-shirt.
I'm not that talented like you are.
You know, that is a pretty good idea. You take the picture of Will Smith hitting Chris Rock, superimpose your head on it and Mark's head. I'd like that. I like that idea, actually.
Right.
All right. So we are back once again. And
if that wasn't abundantly clear.
But the minute you turn this on, you should know that we're back, I guess.
Yep.
Or that you saw the new episode is up. But and I know that we've got a lot to talk about because I think we all saw some stuff this week. Although a lot of what we saw or what we were texting with each other about is stuff we can't really talk about this week because it has to do with the next theme, I suppose. But we did have at least a few movies each that we watched that were non-theme related and or non
interesting
next theme related.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
So why don't we start things off with the inimitable Mr. Joe Jans.
I only watched one film that wasn't Blade related or the future theme related
that's
for the
not,
next episode.
That's not true. I know
I watched,
of at least two that you watched.
All right. One is just one letter. What's the other one?
The other one is Nightmare Alley, right?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I did watch Nightmare Alley, but I wouldn't consider that.
Well, that's true.
A horror.
Yeah, that's true. It's adjacent, I guess. It's a noir.
It has the word nightmare in it.
Yeah, it does have that. But it is definitely a noir. But yeah, it's not really horror, I guess.
Yeah,
that's true.
I did like it. It was very good.
Yeah,
but
the other one I watched that's
the horror related was X.
Yeah.
In the movie theater. So we might as well just start kicking the crap out of Joe right off the bat.
I don't think we can talk too much about it because it did just come out. And there are certainly things I think you'd rather not know about going into it. But, I mean, just general overall feelings. What did you think, Joe?
I thought it was very slow paced with a long, long build up to an unimpressive payoff. I thought the kills could have been more graphic. There were some that I just flat out didn't see. And it's not like I was closing my eyes or watching it wrong. That's how they decided to shoot them. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of motive or character development of the two elderly people in there. I don't understand what their motives were for doing what they did. And let me rewind this back a bit. This overview should be established first. There's a group of, what is it, four or five people?
Six.
Six people. There's actors and cameraman and sound girl and director. They all find this farmhouse that they're going to rent for a couple of days, and they're going to shoot a porno in the barn that they're staying at.
Called the farmer's daughter.
Called the farmer's daughter. And they're, of course, trying to do it on the DL without the farmer or his wife, who rented them the room for a couple of days, without them realizing what was going on. And then, of course, because you already know this is a horror-themed movie, something bad happens with, and I can't get into details about it, but I was one of the few people that just was not impressed with this film. That being said, from what the research was that I've done online and the text berating that I received all weekend long, lots of other people really liked it. So don't take my word for it. Just wasn't my thing.
Well,
I
wouldn't say don't take your word for it. I value, your opinion, Joe. I really enjoyed this film. I watched it twice. Went back to the movie theater and actually watched it twice.
Why I was so anxious to go see it, because I can't remember the last time I've seen a movie in the theaters twice. So I was expecting this to just be like The Shining.
Oh, well, I don't think I built it up as The Shining. I couldn't get it out of my head.
You took that from Mark seeing a movie twice? Mark saw Blade in the theaters six times, okay?
Yeah.
But I really liked Blade, so that was okay with me.
It doesn't take a lot for Mark to see a movie more than
Yeah.
Mark's got a lot of spare time. I'm learning.
I do have a lot of spare time. I mean, I do work.
But I will say,
I work hard, by the way.
I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie twice in the theater, but I want to go see this one again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. Go.
Well, no, you go. You go ahead.
Okay. When Joe said there's no motive with the elderly couple, there. Absolutely.
Well, don't get into that. I do believe there was one too, but don't get into it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna be tough. I really enjoyed this film. I loved how some of the shots were done just with the – well, Joe's going to laugh with this, but with the shots with the two glasses of lemonade and how it went into another scene that was being filmed in the porno movie. A lot of people were talking about like how gory this movie is. This movie is not gory. It's not –
I mean, it depends on – depends on your point of reference, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's some gore.
I've seen worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Definitely.
And we've all seen worse with all the French films that
right.
Joe has
seen. But if you're not someone who watches, 100 horror movies a year and
right.
does a podcast, then...
I watched 100 horror movies over the weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. You did. But, if you're not somebody who does what we do, it might you might consider it gory.
Yeah.
I thought the most gory part in this entire movie was the cow.
The dead cow.
Very beginning of the movie.
Oh, the dead cow.
They drive by a dead cow on the road. That's not giving anything away.
Run over the cow, kind of.
No, they just drove by it.
They ran over the guts that were
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like they were the killers.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. No, I enjoyed the actors. Joe referenced Matthew McConaughey. I totally get that reference.
That guy is a poor man's Matthew McConaughey. I'm sorry.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I enjoyed him. I enjoyed him in it. Brittany Snow's in it. She's from, and the only reason why I know who this actress is because she's in Pitch Perfect, and my daughter loves that series. And so,
but, just your daughter?
Huh?
Just your daughter?
Yeah,
Mark likes it too.
I like it, Mark. It's okay.
I did
You're
like
among
it.
Friends.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a good
guy. I really enjoyed Pitch Perfect actually, but I did go see it with my daughter Dylan. But that's the only reason why I know that actress. But I thought she was great. This movie just really got me in the right place. You know, the movie's set in 1979, but there's a lot of horror tropes. You know, it's like there's peephole that I absolutely despise because it scares the hell out of me. There's a peephole scene in it.
Oh, that's right. There is.
There is. Drove me insane. Drove me insane.
Mark in his holes.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, don't, no. And it delivered. It delivered. It's I just really, really enjoyed this movie. It's hard to talk about. I want to go so spoiler in this.
Yeah, you can't really.
You can't.
It's hands down my favorite movie that so far.
Yes,
and
man.
Last year, if it had come out last year, it probably would have been top three for me.
Wow.
So it's I think it's going to be high on my list. And you know, it's got that 70. It just got so many elements that I absolutely love. That 70s exploitation. Mm-hmm. It has a great film look, which I just heard an interview with Ty West on the Mick Garris podcast, and also the All the Colors of the Dark podcast. And he was talking about that film look, and they didn't actually shoot it on film. It was shot on digital, but they, you know, used old lenses to make that for the porn scenes.
Yeah.
They use these old lenses to kind of give it that, that old style look. And then of course they did some things in post they created some LUTs for it and that sort of thing to give it the film look as well. The old 16 millimeter film look. And, even the main parts of the movie that were not the porn, were made to look like 35 millimeter film. It looks like a movie that was shot on film. And the only reason they didn't, he said, is because they shot it in New Zealand or Australia or New Zealand. And so during the pandemic, they didn't want to ship the film back to the United States for processing. So because they were worried about how things are getting lost in the mail and shipping and all of that. So they decided to shoot it on digital. It had such a 70s vibe to it. You know, just lots of, you know, sexuality to it that you just don't see in movies anymore. So many movies now, especially even horror, is so mainstream and so PG-13 and like marketed to a specific audience. And this one had a feel to it that was a little more, I thought, a little more adult. I love the practical effects. I thought there's a certain thing that I don't want to talk about too much that definitely fooled me. It didn't fool Joe apparently, but it definitely fooled me. But I don't want to say anything more about that. I'm really looking forward to, because apparently they simultaneously shot the prequel to this. And it's going to be, and the prequel is set in like 1918 or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
1918.
And so I'm really interested.
Pearl. It's called Pearl.
Right. And so
I'm
really
called W.
So I'm interested in. I definitely want to see that. I love Ty West. I liked the Innkeepers is one of my. I just love that movie. I don't know if you've seen that. And House of the Devil, I really enjoyed too. He's just a great indie filmmaker. And this was a big release. I mean, this is A24, but A24 usually does simultaneously releases. Like they don't do wide release very often. Usually they'll have a limited release and it will be simultaneously streaming, but this was a big release. It's not streaming yet. It was in more theaters than Ty West normally gets. So I thought the whole thing was just like pure joy of filmmaking. I absolutely loved it.
And the last line's great.
One of the first movies in a really long time that I want to rush back out in the theater and bring Michelle because Michelle couldn't come with me. She had other things to do. So I want to rush back out and see it as soon as possible again, if possible. I don't know if we'll get to or not, but I definitely want to. So I highly, highly recommend that. I give it 4 stars. I think it's definitely worth checking out. What else did you watch, Mark, that was non-theme or future theme related?
I saw Uma.
You saw that yesterday, right?
Yeah, I saw it last night.
You didn't like it?
No. It's shot, cinematography was shot by Mike Flannery, who shot the Raid movies. So just wanted to
What movies?
The Raid.
The Raid.
The Raid movies. Which one of my favorite movies, like got to be in my top 50, is The Raid. But it's directed by Iris Kishim. So this movie stars Sandra Oh, who is a beekeeper named Amanda. She lives in a small rural town. She harvests honey, and that's how she makes her money. And I looked it up. The fancy way to say beekeeper is apiarist, I believe that's what it's called. Anyways, she lives with her teenage daughter named Christy. They live in a house with no electricity because she has PTSD over something that we don't figure out until the end of the movie. But they don't have internet or phones. So one day her uncle shows up and says, "Your mother died a couple months ago," and hands a suitcase of her mother's ashes in it. And, well, Amanda and her mother never got along in the past, and the uncle says her anger will grow as long as she remains in the box. So throughout the movie, that's what happens. This movie is very predictable. Some of the shots were fine. I didn't enjoy it. It's PG-13. I didn't know that going in. I just said Uma. But it's PG-13. You see probably something better, kind of similar, probably like The Babadook. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Babadook.
Yeah. It's similar in that kind of way, but less scary. Yeah. It was
I really like The Babadook. I love that.
Yeah, it's good.
Love The Babadook.
Yeah, it's a great film, but yeah, Uma was just blah.
Anything else?
I think you watched it too, Vicious Fun.
I really like that.
It was interesting.
It's not it's not perfect or anything. It definitely is very indie, but I thought it was funny. The cops I thought were really funny, and when he was like really mad at the kid for making fun of the guy's mustache or whatever. I thought it was hilarious. But so the premise of it is this kid has a roommate. He's not a kid. I mean, he's like a young adult. He's, I guess, in his 20s or whatever. And he lives with a couple girls as roommates. And one of them he has a huge crush on. And she goes out on a date. So he's very jealous. He sees them out like kissing in the car. And she comes inside and he goes out to kind of check him out, and he sees the guy's car is still there, like running, and there's a payphone on the corner, and the guy's like calling somebody on the payphone, and it's set in the 80s. I'm thinking, right? It's like
1983.
And the guy's on the phone, and he calls somebody, and so when he drives off, the kid grabs a cab and tells him follow that car, and he follows him all the way to a bar, where he meets up with the guy at the bar, and they wind up having drinks, and he wants to find out more about him. And he drinks so much that he passes out like in a closet. And when he comes out and there's no one there. It's like after hours, everything's locked up, but there's a group of people sitting around like a therapy group. And he comes to realize that they're all serial killers, and it's a support group for serial killers.
Yeah.
And so one of the serial killers seems to be, I think, I, when I say that they are these archetypes, they're not necessarily the exact thing, but you can kind of see that one of the serial killers is sort of a Jason or Michael kind of guy.
One of them is obviously like American Psycho.
Right. One is very obviously right. American Psycho. And, he's got the members only jacket yeah, yeah. and the hair and everything and the glasses.
Oh, but for our main character, we have to tell Joe, he's dressed like Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it's so obvious.
And then I'm not sure that the Japanese guy who he's supposed to be, but I'm assuming it's from some Japanese horror movie.
Well, I'm guessing. Something. Well, he's a cannibal, so yeah. I'm guessing he's sort of like the Hannibal Lecter ninja
then,
type kind of thing.
And then there's a guy who's a clown, basically, and he reminded me a bit of Art the Clown, but he's basically a clown.
Like John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy, yeah. kind of, but skinny. And then the girl reminded me of, she's kind of made up to look like the girl from the dragon, girl with the dragon tattoo,
yeah.
you know.
But
so,
there's a twist.
There was definitely a twist. And, yeah. and I won't say much more than that, but
right.
it's really, you know, it's clever. It's pretty funny. I think, you know.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, what it's a lot of fun. Huh?
What
Vicious
is this on?
Fun.
It's on Shudder.
Yeah,
Shudder,
it's,
okay.
A Shudder original.
Yeah, and so I think you'll have a lot of fun if you check this one out. It's
and there's cops in it. There's
yeah,
cops
there's,
in it,
there's,
Joe.
Yeah, there's. You know, sometimes it's a little self-aware. You know, a little yeah. too self-aware, and comments on itself a little too much. But it's so much fun that you don't really mind. And the main character, I really like him. I thought he was funny. That the main kid. I thought he did a good job of being kind of naive without it being too overboard, and he had some funny lines, and I like the girl. I thought the cast was really good, and of course Packer from The Office is in it.
Yes, I love there's a kill scene with pencils, and I love this kill scene with this pencil.
It, oh yeah,
best use of pencils I've ever seen.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's fun. It's not, you know, it's nothing earth shattering, but I chuckled and I had a good time watching it. So
yeah, my favorite killer in the movie though was the American Psycho killer. At some point he's dressed up as a detective, and I'm telling you, he reminded me of Jeffrey Combs from The Frighteners.
Oh boy, I don't remember that very well. Yeah, I can't think of it.
Jeffrey Combs. He's from The Reanimator.
Oh, okay.
The actor. I thought he was mimicking Jeffrey Combs like so well. This actor who played this guy, what is his name? Ari Melin. I thought he stole the movie. The American Psycho guy.
He was really good.
He was really good.
Yeah, but the whole cast was pretty good. Really,
yeah.
I mean the big Jason Michael guy was funny. You know, I thought they were all pretty good.
Yeah.
So that one's, and the cops were pretty funny. You know, they probably had the clunkiest dialogue, and some of their stuff wasn't as funny. I think they were trying a little too hard with them, but
well, at least when they were, you know, when they were walking, you know, you didn't hear like clown
the horns
and
little
whatnot.
Walking music, yeah. But yeah, no, that was a good one. Anything else you watch?
I watched some French horror, but I can't talk about it.
Yeah Okay, so yeah, the only other thing I watched was Nightmare Alley, and I liked it. You know, it's not horror, but it's a noir, so definitely adjacent. And I liked it. It's not great, but I did enjoy it. And I was with it the whole way. It was yesterday I watched it, and it was raining, and I had the day off. So it was like a rainy day. So it was a perfect, you know, environment to watch it. So definitely worth checking out anyway, especially because it's on HBO Max. So I guess that brings us in record time. I mean, I have a feeling this is going to be maybe our shortest episode in quite some time. Maybe not. Maybe you guys have a lot to say about Blade.
No.
But,
Joe, it's your pick.
I know, but I mean, I think it stands on its own. It's Blade. What do you got to say about it? It's awesome.
Well, you got to introduce it. It's
okay, I'll introduce it. So Blade, the character Blade, was actually created by the great Marv Wolfman for Marvel Comics back in 1973. I believe in Tomb of Dracula number 10 was his first appearance. And then, of course, back in 1998, it got put up the property for movie creation starring our very own Wesley Snipes. And this whole movie, in case you haven't seen it, this whole franchise is about Blade, who is what the vampires call a daywalker. He was born, he's like half vampire, half human. So he's got all of the strengths of a vampire, which is he can heal himself. He does have a thirst for blood, but he doesn't have their weaknesses. So he can go out in daytime and it doesn't affect him. I think he can also have like Italian food with garlic. I'm not sure. They didn't go into that very much, but he still has a thirst for blood. So his buddy Whistler.
Can he eat? Because most vampires can't eat at all. They can only like feast on blood.
That's probably how they stay so young and youthful without the added calories. I've never
seen Blade eat. So I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to read the book. I don't think
they showed anybody eating in the series. But.
I've read like hundreds and hundreds, same as Joe, of comic books. I don't think I've ever read a Blade comic book.
I've read a couple Blades just because there was some crossover events back in the early 2000s that involved
Midnight Suns?
No, I thought he had something to do with, or no, it wasn't Civil War. I can't remember. I have some in my collection. I'd have to go dig them out.
I think it's Civil War II Blade was in.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He did appear quite a bit in Spider-Man's from time to time throughout the, I want to say, 90s.
Yeah, but, he was also involved with Morbius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the first Blade installment is about Blade simply just hunting vampires, and it's I don't want to call it an origin story because he's already developed and you know midway through his cause. Like I said, he's got a friend.
Yeah, it's definitely not year one or year two.
He's well
established.
Yeah, his friend Whistler, played by Kris Kristofferson, is his you know guy in the chair. You know the guy that makes all the great cool tools and weapons and stuff for Blade to go out and hunt vampires. And, of course, you know, the vampire army or group or whoever all these vampires are, they're against that. They don't want to be killed or, you know, they're trying to – they have this young up-and-comer played by Stephen Dorff. God, what a terrible name. Who plays
That's a
Deacon
great
Frost.
Name. I love Dorff. Stephen Dorff.
I love Stephen Dorff, too.
I love Stephen Dorff.
I just can't believe he got through grade school with a last name as Dorff.
Yeah. I can never tell if people are talking about Stephen Dork, or I'm sorry, Dorff, or
Joe, I'm gonna spit out his water.
Or who's the guy that is in the Lord of the Rings, and he plays Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings? What's that guy's name? I'll look it up. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh! Just fun fact: Stephen Dorff won MTV Movie Awards Best Villain. For his role in Blade. And won Best Villain in Blockbuster Awards.
Okay.
I did research too.
Okay.
Really?
That's really
an MTV award?
MTV Movie Award Best Villain. He won.
By the way,
Stephen Dorff's great in this movie. I love Stephen Dorff in this
movie. By the way, the Academy Awards were the other night. Was I never saw who won the fan best picture. Did you see who didn't?
That might have happened after the slap.
they had a new category, fan favorite. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no. There was a fan favorite for favorite superhero action scene.
Oh, yeah.
And the Flash scene one.
Was number one, which, yes.
Which, I kind of love that scene.
There's no way that trumped Captain America saying Avengers Assemble.
Oh.
When he had the hammer and caught the hammer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Not even
that close. Was number two.
That's not even close.
So, anyway, Deacon Frost, who is this young and up-and-coming vampire who doesn't want to play by the rules of the old vampire regime. He wants to do something new, and he's trying to bring back this blood god that's going to allow the vampires to take over the entire world and stop hiding from these humans and start ruling them. And Blade sort of has other ideas. So that's the long and short of the first installment of the trilogy of Blade. And Matt, we're all dying to know, what did you think? Because you are the only one of the three of us that haven't seen it.
By the way, the guy's name is Brad Dourif. Is the guy who plays? He was in. Did you ever see Mississippi Burning?
Long time
he plays
ago.
Like the deputy in that, and he was in
The Client with Susan Sarandon, and he was in Bully.
He was in a Clockwork Orange, or not Clockwork, One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest. He was he played the rabbit guy or something like
that. Oh, Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif.
I'm thinking of
and he played Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, and Return of the King.
Gotcha.
This just isn't my cup of tea. I really struggled to get through these three movies.
Really?
I find myself just
all
like
of them?
Zoning out on these. Yeah, I didn't care for them.
I can see number three being a hard pill to swallow.
I thought I kind of liked part two a little bit, but it's just not my thing.
Wait, okay, so Matt, so you're saying like when the security guards shoot Blade in the hospital and Blade stares at them and says, "Motherfuckers, are you out of your goddamn minds?" I mean, that's like
there were a couple lines like that that made me chuckle a little bit, but most of the acting in these were absolutely awful.
I guess.
And the lines, I just, you know, what was it? It's something time for suckerheads or something. What was that line? It's something time for suckerheads. I don't know. And then,
are we talking about the first one?
Yeah. In fact, my buddy Iski, I think Iski's probably going to be really mad at me because I think he likes these movies. I posted that I saw this on my Instagram, and he said the line on it, so I'll have to look at it. But and then what was it? Part three, when someone dies. All right, spoilers, people. By the way, if you've never seen these, please.
Wait, we're going on three already? Are we already going on three?
I'm giving you an example because I want to give you guys the floor. This is the stuff you like. I really don't have much to say about it, but there was a line where someone dies and the girl's holding him, and Blade comes walking up behind, like in a trance, and stands there going, "Use this. Use this." So anytime you guys are having,
I had to keep repeating that to myself during the movie X.
I had to
say that to myself to get through part three.
Okay, anyway. If you're gonna jump forward to number three, then
okay,
let's not go to three.
I don't want to rush you guys. You guys stick with one. And
like I said, on one.
I don't have much to say.
Let's talk about the sunblock.
I'm just gonna let Mark talk.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm actually done. I thought Blade One was great.
All right, so let's talk about when he throws the doctor over like 600 feet onto another roof of the building, and she only gets a dislocated shoulder. I mean, any human being that would have killed her.
Yeah, but he was able to pop it back in, so you know, no biggie.
Yeah, you can pop it back in, it's fine.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the sunblock scenes? Because I don't understand the sunblock scene. Okay, sunblock scene drove me insane. I mean,
your entire existence depends on you not getting hit by any ultraviolet rays. You're taking a big risk by slapping on sunscreen and walking out. And who is the first? Your...
His eyes are exposed. His ears.
Can he have sunglasses?
Like inside... No, he took them off.
Yeah,
so his,
then he should.
His eyes are exposed. And he's talking.
Well, did you put it all over your mouth?
Hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his skull.
His hair should have been slicked down. Yeah.
Should have been wearing
a helmet.
Well, yeah,
and,
he should have been.
And sunglasses. Yeah. Actually, he shouldn't be outside.
No, he shouldn't be outside.
Period.
Yeah. Like the guy steaming and all that. Like when they had the vampire and, he's, you know, they're at the ocean and, you know, the sun's coming up and he's like steaming, but they didn't put sunblock all over their bodies. He's steaming out of the, you know, the chest. It's like they would have been doing the same thing.
How many times do you have to reapply? You know, like you have to reapply.
Well, but,
yeah,
well,
I mean,
Blade
and whatever you do, don't get wet.
Blade did say to Deacon Frost, he's going, your mascara is running. So that was the scene in there. That was a good Wesley Snipes, I think.
That really was, yeah.
I love
that
scene.
That wasn't bad, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I love the scene with the big blob vampire.
Oh, Pearl.
That's a great scene.
Pearl, the big giant blob of fat Chinese woman.
Oh,
that, she's like a librarian.
And
she doesn't wear clothes because she wears like 7,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just such an interesting character to put in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this movie was directed by Stephen Norrington, who basically ended Sean Connery's career. He directed The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and that was the last film Sean Connery ever did, because Sean Connery had a horrible experience and retired Sean Connery.
And now he's dead.
No.
I don't think he's – is he dead now?
Yeah.
I don't think Sean Connery's dead, is he?
No, he passed away. He passed away somewhere in a beach or something. Mm. Passed away. Yeah, but that was his last film because of Stephen Norrington. Actually, Stephen Norrington never directed a film after that, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is...
Stephen, you drove me out of it.
On October 31st, 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I should have known that. Or maybe I did and I forgot.
You should have.
I should have known that.
But
you didn't drag Paul Markish into this, did you?
He's so good. So good with that. But this movie made $131 million off of a $43 million budget, and Marvel only made $25,000 off of this film because it was like a flat fee.
You want to get Capone? Here's how you do it. He pulls a knife on you, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue.
You got morgue really good.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, No, you know what? I wrote notes like how Blade saved Marvel Universe.
So I do have a question. I wonder who the first vampire was that tried going outside. I mean, there's no way he did it on his own. The boss guys were probably like, you know what? Let's lather this guy up with SPS 15, this guy up with SPS 30, with 50, and we'll see who survives. You know, and it had to have been like somebody involuntarily was sent out.
Like not just getting pushed out, just like go.
Yeah, and then they tested to see like what can you do and how long will it let. Like there were, I'm envisioning many vampires died testing that out.
They're like running on treadmills and direct sunlight.
Yeah, I also looked up. So like, what is a pure vampire? It's like I was born a vampire.
Yeah, that I didn't
know.
So
I looked it up because I was like, well, how the hell do vampires are born, you know, age? So I looked it up, and in the Marvel universe, and actually the underworld universe with the werewolves, I guess vampires, for every 10 human years, when a vampire ages, like 10 years, how do I say this? Every 10 human years is like 30 to 100 years for a vampire. So like when a vampire ages 10 years, it could be from 30 to 100 years aging. That's – I looked
for
it
humans.
Up. So, for vampires.
So they age slowly is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So when they age 10 years, I might be aging 100.
Okay, so, how we age 10 years, humans, right? We age 10 years.
Uh-huh.
In 10 years.
For a vampire to age 10 years, it would take 30 to 100 years to age 10 years human.
Why such a wide range?
Yeah,
I don't know. I looked it up, man.
30 to 100 to age 10.
I looked it up. That's what I said.
So not some vampires.
Yeah. So maybe we're like dog years. Maybe that's.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
But they age slower than we do.
And some way slower because some vampires.
There's a lot of numbers
years between. Yeah.
Between 32 and 100. Yeah.
Exactly.
I guess it all depends on how powerful
numbers
a vampire
in between
you are.
So, but that still doesn't answer the question of how they are born a vampire, because they did keep referencing I was born a vampire. What does that mean?
Can vampires get pregnant?
Can they reproduce, or what? What exactly? How does it happen?
I guess Joe, we'd have to ask Siri. I don't have the answer. I really don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, in some vampire lores, they don't even have genitals. I think in Anne Rice's. Novels, they don't have
no
genitals.
they do, because I think they have sex in her they do, because they
don't remember any sex scenes in the books even. Well, I mean, I only read Interview with the Vampire and the Vampire Lestat.
I thought they did.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, I can't believe I just Googled this, but can vampires get pregnant? And the answer is no, they cannot, as their egg cells are frozen and can't be fertilized by sperm.
Ooh. All right.
Of course, no, wait, that's the website that came from is the Twilight Saga fandom.com. So,
right.
Yeah, obviously not the definitive source.
A little different.
Yeah, wait a second. I thought that you guys in the last episode said in the Twilight movies that chick got pregnant.
Yeah, but she was human.
She was human before she was turned into a...
So I guess her vampire sperm is still alive. Yeah.
Yeah, they can spew it out, but they can't get another vampire pregnant.
I guess the eggs...
Well, there's so many lores.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that may just be a question we don't definitively answer tonight.
We might not know, that did strike, because they seemed, the ones who were born vampires seemed to be kind of looking down their noses at the vampires who were created or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but I never, in the whole trilogy, I never saw, you know, at least not when I was paying attention, I never saw any, explanation of what that meant, like what is a born vampire, you know?
Right.
And it would have to be a male vampire and a female vampire having a vampire child. not they both have to be vampires to be
pure. So sort of like
it couldn't be
Harry
like
Potter.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be like a vampire and a human
half blood or whatever, right?
Yeah.
What do they call the They called the
well, if it was
the wizards that were half Muggle, half wizard.
The Muggles.
No, Muggles are
Italians.
Not, they have no. They Muggles have no power at all. But like I think Jenny Weasley, or not Weasley, Hermione. One of her parents was a wizard, and one of her parents was a Muggle, and so that's why they were calling her a Mudblood, right?
Yeah.
And the purebred wizards were ones who had both of their parents were wizards. Yeah.
So what does this have to do with Blade?
I don't know. We're talking about impregnating
vampires.
I was hoping,
that's what we're talking.
I was thinking that the pure, when they were talking about pure vampires as opposed to half vampires or whatever, or born vampires, that there would be some explanation like that, but there never was.
It's a comic book.
Before we move on, I just want to say one more thing. I think the soundtrack is intoxicating. I love the soundtrack to this film.
I would like to point out the very beginning of this movie. They know how to throw a vampire rave.
Yes.
Unlike the other Lost Boys movies that we saw. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
First off, you get invited to the party by Tracy Lords in a wig.
Porno.
And then when you're in there, there better be blood spraying up all over the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And actual decent club music playing, not like the crap from the Lost Boys sequels.
Correct.
I believe a lot of this soundtrack remind me. I believe I heard a lot of it coming out of our bathroom in Chicago.
Yeah.
When you were taking showers.
That was
me. Mark was playing that during showers a lot.
And then there was that song that I sent you guys that the in the club later on in the movie, the rap by the
Japanese
Asian girls, Japanese
club.
Girls. Yes. Yeah. Awesome song.
It's great. It's great. And one more thing before we move on, just the action scenes, just the martial arts fighting, the very end. I think it's fantastic. Wesley Snipes choreographed a lot of these scenes, by the way, and he really got into this role. And then he started dressing like Blade, you know, just to promote the movie and like drive around that car and to show up at clubs.
It was hell having him at funerals because he'd just yell at everybody, use this, use this.
Some motherfucker always trying to skate uphill.
So
great line.
How about Blade 2? Are we ready to move on to that?
Sure.
Yes, and I think part of the reason why you liked it, at least a little bit, Matt, was because it was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, definitely had a better look, you know, to it, and I didn't love it, but it definitely had more of a, I don't know, there was more of a, I guess a film aesthetic to it that seemed like somebody cared about what the environment looked like, what this world looked like, you know.
Well, only Guillermo del Toro can craft such specific details in a story, all the way down to Ron Perlman's mustache that extends all the way to the back of his head.
Because so awkward looking at that.
Can we talk a little bit about the hairstyles in this series? Because there's some really bad hairstyles.
Can start off with Blade. Yeah.
First and foremost is Blade himself. That is the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life. He's got that little like Pee Wee Herman pointy thing at the top.
Yeah.
And then like
He had the tribal hair, hairstyle, like on the back of his head.
Yeah. And then who was the other one we just said?
Ron Perlman.
Oh, yeah. Ron Perlman's got a mustache that goes all the way around the back of his head. I guarantee I've never seen that before.
No.
I doubt you'll see it again. Can you imagine?
It'd be kind of difficult getting the back. Yeah.
Someone's got to do that for you. And it's not something you can just wait until the next time you go to the barber for. Like, you have to do that every day.
You got
to
keep up on that. Yeah.
You do.
You got to have a series of strategic mirrors posted up around your shower.
And as a vampire, you live forever. So whoever's doing that for him, they got to get tired of that. Like every day, come on.
Maybe his hair was like that before he got converted to a vampire. And now that he doesn't age, he also doesn't grow hair.
Well, that could be. Yeah, maybe it's.
So it's just a one and done.
Yeah,
you know, he's stuck with it. He's cursed with that haircut for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Did Blade's haircut change at all?
I don't think so.
No.
He got more tattoos.
Did he?
Yeah, I think if you go from beginning to end, I think his tattooing got a little bit more elaborate.
Well, he's a half vampire, so he's probably allowed that, though. Because that'll
stay. But you could... if you became a vampire today, you could always get tattoos.
But wouldn't the skin heal? And, like, reject the ink?
I don't know.
Oh, you know what? There was something I didn't understand. What's the serum that he uses? Why does he take that?
Because of the fact that he is half vampire, he always has that thirst for blood. And if he were to give into the cravings, he would end up, possibly becoming a full vampire.
Oh, so in other words...
So he's doing that to repress that urge.
He's basically David from The Lost Boys... If he just never killed.
No.
Except he was, Blade was born half vampire.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he's got the powers of a vampire.
How was he born half vampire?
Because
his
vampire
mom...
slept or bit into his mom. and she was pregnant at the time, and then the blood kind of went into the fetus, and he became a half vampire, half human.
Oh.
See, so, if you knew this, Matt, you would have loved these
You
movies.
Might have liked it more, yeah.
So when totally. When was the serum invented?
He wasn't paying attention,
as soon as he was an infant?
Whistler
found him when he was 13.
Yeah, found him when he was
13 years old.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So all that
if you pay attention,
from birth,
Matt.
From birth to 13,
he was just drinking milk.
I guess, you know.
No, it was puberty.
Soda pop.
He didn't get the thirst until puberty.
Oh. Was this
kinda
mentioned?
Like, kind of like a mutant. Kind of like a mutant.
Was this mentioned in the movies?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I really don't. I think I zoned
did you watch,
out a lot.
No, this is what. No, no, Joe, this is what was happening. Matt's in the living room. He's walking around, picking up stuff.
No, I wasn't watching. I was actually
sitting.
He can
see the TV from the kitchen. He's making food.
Check, I watched that one.
No, I actually
saw that one.
No, that's not true. I actually sat down, and I did watch it, but I have to say that I did start daydreaming at various points.
Now, at the points that you were daydreaming, was it in number two, was it every time that Norman Reedus was on screen? Because I know I did.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Norman Reedus as much.
Everyone calls me Scud. You know what? I'm just going to call you Ass Face because
it's right
you're
here.
Terrible.
It's right here. Here's your tattoo.
Yeah, and his whole, you know, kind of whatever.
Five.
No, his whole betrayal didn't make a whole lot of sense, but
no,
of course it did.
No,
what?
I mean, it came out of nowhere, but it literally came. I mean, it was almost too much out of nowhere. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like a shocker.
I guess.
But
yeah.
But we all kind of knew that. It was going to happen, right?
I really did not care for the fight scene in Blade's lair when the two vampires came in and they were fighting in front of the lights. I loved the choreography of it until I started watching a little bit closer and you could tell how cartoony the computer effects were.
Yeah.
I was clearly not a human being.
But it was fun to watch back then.
Back though. Then, yes.
It was fun to watch.
On rewatch,
some of the graphics don't hold up very well. Yeah. Like the death, especially, I think I made a note of it, some of the death scenes, especially in the first one, or maybe the second, I think it was the first one, really were bad, especially when Steven Dorff?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he makes
just
the
cut
head
in half.
The head vampire, they have him outside and make him sit out there. It was when he had the sunscreen on, and then he burns up like that burning up scene was really doesn't hold up.
That was 1998, Matt.
No, I'm just saying.
By the way,
it doesn't hold up, but Jurassic Park does.
Yes.
Never mind. Yeah.
He's got you there.
I'll shut up right now.
By the way, back to number one, the head vampire, the guy's name is Udo Kier.
He's been in everything.
That's my point. He was in Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
And I can't watch him in anything without thinking about that scene at the fancy party with Ace Ventura when he walks by the cello player and he pulls the guy's arm and gold.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He's great.
Been in a lot of stuff. And every time I see him now, I was going, Blade. I always do that.
So, what did we think of Blade 3?
I hate this movie.
Or, I mean, unless you have more notes about 2.
No. 2's
Well, it's Ryan Reynolds, I think, first attempt of trying to be Deadpool. Without even knowing that he wants to be Deadpool. I don't know. Ryan Reynolds
in every movie that he does. It's just he's got that you know, snarky charm.
Well, he's a huge comic book fan, and he's always been a fan of Deadpool, and I feel like he's got a sword and whatnot, and I feel like he was just going, I'm going to do Deadpool or something like that. I don't know. I think that's kind of where that, like, started.
I do know that when the marketing was released for this movie, it was out for like 3 days, and then they had to recall it all and pull it all back because the original advertisement said Jessica Alba instead of Jessica Biel.
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was on the IMDb page.
Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. I did not know that. That's insane.
They are kind of interchangeable, but still, she should probably get credit for the movie she just made.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
no,
they're both horrible actresses, in my opinion.
And I got to say, I keep your own opinions, but for as terrible as she was in this film, I love me some Parker Posey.
Oh yeah!
Oh
heck
yeah!
Yeah.
I was gonna say yeah.
Heck
she is
yeah.
bad in this. I love Parker Posey too, but she is so miscast in this.
Parker Posey cannot walk in high heels. By the way,
no.
Did you notice that, Joe?
No.
Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
She cannot walk in high heels. She's stumbling around all the time in these high heels. She can't walk.
She was inebriated throughout most of the filming. There's that theory too. So.
Oh, is there a theory on that?
Yeah,
I saw her at a dog park several years ago, and she was a nut. Yeah, she was trying to get in the dog park while I was trying to get out, and she like yelled at me, "Get out of the way!" Like, yeah, she was like,
"Wait, you actually met her?"
I wouldn't say I met her. I got yelled at by her.
You got yelled at by her.
Way, I was trying to leave as she was coming in.
I would have turned around and hugged her. I don't know. That would have been amazing. I love her in
Happy About
Days
That. She had like four little dogs. They were all barking and completely out of control.
I think how Parker Posey is in this film is how Parker Posey is in real life.
Oh yeah, probably.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean she's great in those. In those Chris Guest movies.
I find her very attractive. I don't care what anybody says. I find her very attractive.
I'm in the same boat.
I don't really find her attractive. I don't find her attractive, but I do think she's funny. I think she's she's hilarious.
I love a jawline. I love a good jawline, man. Whew.
Well, let's not skip over.
There's your bumper sound right there.
Yeah. No, it's not a bumper sound.
I love a jawline.
The blind woman from actress.
Yeah, let's
talk
look
about
at the whole.
Her.
I want to
talk
about
talk
the entire.
About
what was the name of the ragtag group of vampire hunter kids?
Night Stalkers.
The Night Stalkers.
Yeah.
We need to
Which
address the
comic
whole
book.
Night Stalkers. Okay, I didn't know that. But any group of vampire hunters, if I could make a list of all the people in humanity that I would put on this, I don't think Patton Oswalt would be on the list.
Not.
Yeah. Playing basketball.
He cannot play basketball at all.
Like
I don't
think
he made a shot at all
like
on camera.
Shit is going down. Hey, let's
you'd
play
be
basketball.
Much better off, you'd be much better off with the Frog Brothers than Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How in the hell did he get that role in a van? I know he likes comic books, but
he?
Yeah, he's a big comic book.
Big comic book fan.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been a joy.
But yeah, and then the other thing
is, he was
is
wearing a Fantastic Four shirt, by the way.
Yes.
Did you notice that? Yes.
He was wearing what was he wearing?
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four logo, which was so cool.
And then, yes, of course, we need to discuss it's Natasha Lyonne, who she was the blind girl who I know people that don't have sight can do tremendous things, but I didn't realize they could advance cellular biology that much. I would think that would be something you would need your sight to
look through a microscope.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I don't think Braille really comes in a whole lot of handy, you know. But
and her daughter's there for some reason, which
couldn't find a sitter that day.
Yeah,
I guess
every day. I don't know.
It,
really bad acting. It was really bad acting.
And then, of course, my favorite, the Archer, Jessica Biel.
Here we
go.
I'm going on mute.
Who we find out later is Whistler's daughter, I believe.
Yes.
And her particular weapon of choice. Despite the really cool one that they have that like concentrated light that you can like slice through vampires.
Yeah, that
with
seems
it.
Really hard
the
to
UAV?
Manage. That'd be very dangerous.
Is it like a UAV or what is it called? That blue light. What is it called?
It's a concentrated UV like laser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like you would cut your own.
That's what you're talking
You'd
about.
Cut
okay.
yourself a lot with that, or cut your off of your
it's
own.
It's a lightsaber.
Hand.
Well,
but it's basically what it is. But yeah. I think it's a lightsaber. It's UV light. Like for humans, you're fine.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
But you would think instead of having
didn't
it
she cut
go
through,
from
like,
one
metal
side
with
to the
it,
other?
Or no, it was just vampires.
Just vampires.
Oh, okay.
You would think it would just point out in a straight line, you know, and then you just cut them all in half. But anyway, despite having that wonderful weapon of choice, she decides to go with a compound bow and, you know, shoots these fancy schmancy weighted arrows at them. But there's a scene in there that I absolutely abhor, and allow me to discuss this just because it's something it's bothered me for years. There's like this training montage where she keeps trying to hone her skills, her archery skills, shooting at a target over and over again. And she's shooting it through this like radar gun area. It's like a bunch of different wires that will track how quickly the arrows are going. And then after every shot, it shows how many miles per hour that arrow is traveling. But that's not how compound bows work. They will go the same amount of speed every time you shoot it, unless you're readjusting it time and time again for more weight, for more pullback. So it's not a matter of how often she pulls it back or how well of an archer she is with accuracy. It's stupid. If anybody knows anything about archery, it's just a dumb scene.
So I thought, okay, so all this time I thought she was just, she was hitting it harder and harder because she was using her anger. She was using it. And it was through her anger. And she's like letting loose and all that. No, that doesn't work.
If it was a recurve bow, that the farther you could pull it back, then it would have more force. That has some possibility. But a compound bow pulls back to a certain part every time. And then it rests. It's called a let off. And that's it. That's the capacity of the strength of that bow. Once you've reached it, that's it. It will never get any faster unless you tighten the limbs of the bow, which makes it harder to pull back because basically it's the force that you're pulling back on the string is equal to what it's releasing the arrow at. So it's just all around a really dumb segment. I thought somebody in Hollywood would have caught that, but I guess not.
Here's a question, Joe. What are your thoughts on, like, Hawkeye, like, when you see Hawkeye, like, shoot a bow?
He doesn't shoot a compound bow. She had a whole compound hunting setup for her thing. He's got more of a recurve bow there's things on the top and bottom. They look like pulleys. They're called cams. Those are what makes a compound bow a compound bow. It helps add the strength. And it also, when you're holding it, it's taking care of some of the struggle. Once you pull that all the way back, you're not holding 100 pounds when you pull back. You're holding like 80% of that.
Okay.
So you can hold it back longer. When you've got no assistance, no cams on the top and bottom, and you pull back 100 pounds worth of tension, you're still holding 100 pounds the whole time.
Gotcha. I will have to say... I was over
for
at
those
house.
Of you missed out. You've just entered archery talk.
Yeah. Well, no. Just so you know, I got a lot of respect for like people who like pull back a bow. Someone gave me a bow, and says, "Yeah, just pull it back." I could not pull it back. I could not. It was like almost. I was like just going like this. Could not pull it back. I was like, I think I'm kind of strong and I'm wiry. I can pull it back. Nope. Could not pull it back. Okay, so that was me just saying I'm a weakling. All right. Continue. It's fantastic.
All right, so that was my archery rant. Now I'm done. And yeah, Trinity.
Blade Trinity. Can we talk about the main villain, Dracula?
I was just about to say Dominic Purcell.
Horrible.
As Drake, the Vampire King.
Worst Dracula ever.
First off, if he's like the Vampire King, why would he run from Blade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be running at him?
Yeah.
What a coward.
I don't even know what to say. All I wrote down on my notes was probably the worst Dracula ever. Blade, come to die. It was I mean, it was bad. It was super bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I'm looking at my notes for number three, and although there was one thing I thought was that needed to be pointed out. There's a scene where Drake, the head vampire guy, is walking down the streets of whatever city they were in, and he walks into a vampire store. Where are these vampire stores, and where can I buy a franchise of those?
To get the Count Chocula cereal boxes and whatnot.
That's the one thing that's missing from the Quad City area.
That place is
going to
go out of
business. Yeah, they don't have
that. Place will go out of business like that. Are you kidding me? Nothing but like vampire, like Dracula stuff.
It's a very specific market.
Yeah,
they don't bring in enough revenue to pay the rent on that. They need like a bodega or a kiosk or something, but they can't do a whole retail
store. They might own the building.
Oh, a quick note on Blade Trinity. Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes never got along on the set. Ryan said he never met Wesley Snipes. He only met Blade.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
He only met Blade. That says a lot of how Wesley Snipes took Blade so seriously. And Blade is coming out on Disney Plus, a series. And Wesley Snipes was petitioning for him to be Blade, and that didn't work out. And by the way, looking at Wesley Snipes on the Oscars just recently, Matt made a really funny joke and saying, that's not Wesley Snipes, that's just a Blade, because he's so skinny. He's very, very skinny. I don't know if it's for a role or whatnot, but the bulk is not there.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he's not sick, but from what I've read, he's not. I think he's just thin. That's all. But he's definitely looks very different. But you know, he's older now, I guess. So, I can't imagine I guess he really did a lot of method acting, which is kind of proof that method acting doesn't always work.
Yeah. And you need to pay your taxes.
The Disney new development. They're rebooting it, I believe, is what it is. And Blade is going to be played by, I'm going to butcher this, Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. He's from Moonlight,
he's already been cast. Give me one second. He was in House of Cards. He was in Luke Cage.
Oh, okay.
Netflix series with Luke Cage.
Was he Luke Cage?
No.
No, he was like the head mobster.
Yes.
Who's directing it?
That's an excellent question. And Bassam Tariq is rumored.
I wonder if it's going to be more like faithful to the comic books or something.
I don't know. Although one of the writers is Gene Colan, who was he's an old time comic book author.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll see it.
Yeah.
It's horror related.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully I'll
it's
watch
good.
It.
So that wraps. That's slightly disappointing that Matt didn't love it like Mark and I do. But, you know.
Yeah. Can't win them all.
Well, no. Well, when last episode, when we ended the episode, I texted Joe probably like 20 minutes after. I said, Matt's going to hate Blade. And Joe replied back, he's going, we don't know, he's never seen it. I'm like, true enough.
I didn't hate Blade.
It's fun.
Do you in general like at least the current stream of Marvel movies out there? The Iron Mans, the Captain Americas.
I mean, it's not my cup of tea necessarily, but I like, you know, I'm a little tired of them now, but I definitely liked everything through Endgame and all that. I thought, you know, those were pretty good. Sometimes it all gets a little too CGI for me. I saw the latest Spider-Man, and it was just very CG to me. And I just, especially Spider-Man himself, just looks so, I don't know. It takes me out of it. I have a hard time really getting into those. But, you know, I like some of it. It's just so much of it now that I think I feel a little inundated by it. But but I definitely liked the Marvel movies up through that, you know, that whole run with Endgame and all that. I liked those. I thought they were well done.
Well, I'm super glad that I didn't go into the whole Marvel Universe, how Blade saved the whole entire, you know, franchise and comic books of Marvel Universe, because I had two pages on that. But that's fine.
Okay.
Well, thank you for not going into that.
You're welcome.
I'm sure he'll type it up and email it to us later.
All right. Well, I guess then, I mean, did you guys have more to say about this?
No. Yeah, Mark's got two pages.
Oh, no, no.
I will if you want. I mean, I did write it down like freeform.
I'm good.
I got it. No.
And it's now officially Matt's pick.
I got it right here.
Well, just so everyone knows out there, Mark did write something down about how it saved the Marvel Universe. So we won't get into that, though.
No, so, you know what, Mark? You should type that up, and I'll put it on the website.
Oh, there you go.
Really?
Somebody really wants to know, they can go to the website. And it's the only place they're going to get it.
Mm. Can you do a spelling?
Yeah, I'll do spell check for you.
Okay. Okay.
You know your computer does that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always
I'll double check.
I'm always writing.
If you type it up, you send it to me, I'll spell check it. I'll get it on the website. I'll even put a Blade graphic on there.
Are you able to type?
I can type. I don't know. I always write. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm old. What do you want me to do?
Well, that wraps it up for Blade, but our next theme was my choice, and that is going to be French Extreme, or New French Extreme, or New French Extremity. I've heard it said a bunch, and this is a bunch of movies. Basically, it's a sort of subgenre that came around in the early 2000s and continues really almost up to today, basically, because there was one that came out a few years ago called Revenge that is also considered in the New French Extreme. But they're horror, but they also have a lot of action and tend to be a little more brutal in general. I should say a lot more brutal for some of them, but some of them not as much, you know. But they tend to be more violence.
I think we should change this up a bit since we've all started diving down this list of movies that we've already watched for the homework assignment. Why don't you give everybody a list of like five or six movies in case they want to watch it within the next 2 weeks?
Good thinking,
great
Joe. I like
great
it.
Idea.
And
great idea.
And the good
Joe.
News for our listeners is that all of these movies, I believe, are on Shudder. I'm not going to say one. Okay. Here's what I'll say. You definitely should watch Inside. Now, these are all difficult. So if you are somebody who is squeamish and has trouble with violence and torture porn and, you know, that kind of thing, rape revenge movies, then this is definitely not the week that you'll want to – these are not the movies you want to watch, because there's a lot of rape revenge. There's also a lot of torture porn. There's a lot of violence, a lot of gore, a lot of extreme violence. But
not a lot of dance numbers.
There's no song and dance in this.
No musical.
But I would say, let's see, High Tension, Inside, Irreversible. I really have to strongly warn you about. That's a very, very difficult movie to watch. And
Still haven't seen it. I chickened out. I still haven't seen it. Just so you know, I'm not good with French horror. It freaks me out. After Matt introduced me to Inside, I'm not good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be watching it, but
that I would say that Irreversible and Martyrs are both movies that those you might want to avoid. I think you could probably handle High Tension. You could probably handle Inside, although that's pretty graphic as well, but it's not as certainly not as bad as Martyrs or definitely not Irreversible. Anyway, and then there's Revenge came out a few years ago. What am I missing here? Oh, you saw one called Shaitan.
Yeah.
That is French Extreme. Them is probably the the least brutal of all of these.
Yes.
And it's also probably the one I like the least of all of them. I can't say I like Irreversible, but it's a better movie than them.
Yeah, I didn't like watching any of these. They're hard to watch.
They are really hard to watch, yeah. Although, yeah. I loved Inside. I really like it, as hard as it is to
Seriously,
watch.
Seriously, Joe?
Yeah, these are not easy watches at
yeah.
all.
This is going to be brutal. No, I mean, yeah, I get it.
But you
it,
saw
I get it.
Did you watch Inside?
Yes.
I
loved Inside.
No, Joe. Did you watch Inside?
Oh, I've seen them all.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I've seen everything.
So
yeah.
Those are – they're all on – and you can Google it too. What are the French Extreme movies? They're all on Shudder this month. It just happened to be that way. I'd been thinking of doing this, and then all of a sudden I look up and it's – and they're all on Shudder this month. So it's an easy one. If you get a month of Shudder, you'll be able to knock these out. So check them out. Again, that would be High Tension, Inside – Irreversible if you can handle it, Martyrs if you can handle it, Shaitan, Revenge,
Them.
Those would be the seven, I would say. And if you look it up, there might be a couple others that would be considered in that genre as well. So, all right, I guess that is. Oh, and also please go to our website. And if you love our show, which we our downloads were really great this month, and our audience is growing once again, and I love that. So, but if you, like I said, we don't really make any money at this, and we spend money to do it. So if you wouldn't mind, if you enjoy our show, just buy yourself a t-shirt, buy yourself a hoodie, something like that. A little bit of that money goes to us, and it helps us pay for things like our recording website and, you know, things like that. And it allows us to do this without digging into our pockets too much. And we, you know, Joe put a lot of time into designing those shirts and the logos and all the things that are on there. So, you know, have a little appreciation, and then you can walk around, you can advertise our show, and maybe other people will check it out.
We'd love it.
Yeah. So I guess that is it. Until next time, we will see you later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. I love a jawline. I love a good jawline, man. I'm not good.